Let's pray in silence, please. Amen. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we shall continue our last section of 1 Timothy. Shall we sing hymn 510?
Thank you.
I'm very grateful that I got this opportunity to come to NYTS to study with you. And I really thank God that even though at the first 2 days you guys are very struggling with your sleepy problems, but later I think everybody, most of you can overcome it. And and hopefully you will learn something from 1 Timothy. Now we come to the end. We talk about godliness with content is the greatest gain. Godliness is really accept the godly words. You try to pursue a godly characters, patience, tenderness, and righteousnesses, love and stuff, right? And then you hold this godly virtue, godly truth till the end, without spot, without blameless. Then how do I help myself to be content? I really got to tell myself, I have something to eat, I have something to drink, I should be happy. You know, this is, I don't need to compare with other people. Pastor Liang told us, we like to live a simple life because simple life, we have more time for your family, more time for nature, more time for God. It's a most blessed life, actually. So I have food to eat, I have clothes to wear, thank God for that. Then I know that I cannot bring anything back. The more I have, the more I lose after I die, actually. So I don't need to worry too much, you know, what we eat and what to drink. And then the Bible reminded us that root is the greedy is the evil for all, is the root for all evil. 贪财是万恶之根, right? So you observe that people, if truly put their hearts into dollar sign only, and then because of their ambitions, they are very risky, you know. They do risky business because they want to earn more. And then they lose everything. So all this can help us to live a more content life. And then the Bible says it is a great gain. I want to give you a concept that, you know, sometimes the gain you have in this life is not true gain. Like Pastor Liang this morning mentioned about a brother. He's so far away from the church. He was so successful. But his wife told him that if you earn the whole world but forsake your soul, what is so good about it? What can you exchange with your soul? Nothing, right? So maybe sometimes when you gain something, it becomes a curse to your life. It's not truly a blessing. King Saul gained the kingship. But when I read his story, right, he may as well as in his hometown, probably in his hometown, he won't commit suicide. He won't commit suicide later on. He won't suffer so much in his life. He won't like forsake by the Lord later on. Kingship, he gained kingship. But later on, he lost even more with this kingship. Kingship actually is nature, right? God can use his kingship to do many good things, but that kind of temptation of power is too much for him to handle. He was not able to handle the great power that was given to him. He abused it. He cannot let go. He can't become a curse. A lot of times, if God thinks you are allowed for certain kind of blessings, right? Like material stuff. God thinks you are qualified, you are worthy. You get it? Maybe God thinks, hey, you can handle it. Have a lot of money, but you will not leave God. Have a lot of fame, but you're still very sober. Because you are that kind of person, right? But maybe for some person, you give it too much. You let the Lord. So that's why maybe the Lord will not give you that much to you. So really, as long as we are God's person, God know how much we can handle. So sometimes gain in this world is not true gain. Sometimes lost in this world is not true loss. Jesus said, if a seed did not bury into the ground and die, it will not bear much fruits, more seeds, right? More fruit, much fruit, right? A lot of times, like, we sacrifice a lot. It's not true sacrifice. You lose a lot. It's not true. It's not. It may be a blessing to you. Abraham lost his son. He decided to sacrifice his son. Guess what? He did not truly lost it. But in the beginning, he thought he's going to kill him, right? But of course, he believed that he will resurrect. But giving away doesn't mean you will lose everything. So loss in this world may not be true loss also. It really depends on God. If you truly have honor in God, what kind of heart you have in front of God? There's a story in Chinese called 塞翁失马焉知非福, right? Talk about a rich guy lose a bunch of horses, right? And people are worried, saying that, you guys are so unlucky. How come you lose a bunch of horses? And the owner said, it may not be a disaster, right? But guess what? The lost horses bring back other horses back to home. So everybody was, wow, you are so nice, right? See, you lost stuff. But now, not only you gain what you had, the horses bring a lot of mats called back home, right? So you have more horses. And the owner said, it may not be a blessing. It is indeed true. Later on, his son, right, was training the new horses, right, and fall down and break his legs, right? And people were saying, wow, because of these horses, you lost your son's leg. And the father was saying, it may not be a curse. Guess what? The war comes, right? They were recruiting people to fight, right? And his son was not recruited because his leg. So, you know, like things in this life, when it occurs, right, sometimes it looks like a blessing. It may not be a blessing to your spiritual life. Sometimes it's a loss in materially, but it may not be a loss with your spiritual life. All you need to do is honor God. Content with what you have. Godly with contentness is the greatest gain. Let's turn to Psalm 121. I like this one because this indeed is a godly family. Psalm 128 verse 1. 128 verse 1. This is a family who fear God. And you can see that the joy, the happiness inside the house, right? Chapter 128, Jeffrey, would you please read? Verse 2. Verse 3. Verse 4. Verse 5. Verse 6. If you look at the blessing over here, it's like you can be rewarded with your labors, right? You do something and God say, hey, you do 8 hours, God give you some reward. So enjoy the labor of enjoy the reward of your labor. And then true blessing is your harmony family. Harmonious family, you know? Your children, they are decent children. They are decent, right? Your wife truly is very helpful in the family. And then you're able to see the blessing in the house of God. So true blessing is you enjoy church life. You enjoy your family life. And you do something in the society, you do have return. And you are content with those kind of return, you know. And this is a true blessing to me. So to me, godly and content is the greatest joy. Content to me is the greatest gain. This is what I'm learning too. I hope that I can be like that in as early as possible because this is so wonderful. Philippians chapter 4. As a Christian, if you can reach this stage, right, I think it is indeed a breakthrough. Such wonderful situation that a brother and sister can have, right? Chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4, verse 10 to 12. 10 to, maybe 10 to, yeah, 10 to 12. Is that David or Daniel? David, please read. Chapter 4, verse 11, Philippians.
11, I am not saying this because I am weak, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances.
12.
So I know what it is to be weak, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any
13.
Wow,
really is amazing. Huh? If you can learn this, Paul learned this all. He learned all. It's not automatically you can enjoy poor. It's easier to enjoy riches. It's not automatically you can enjoy lacking all. But Paul says that I'm okay. You know, to live in two-bedroom apartments, fine. To live in five-bedroom house, okay, right? If riches given by God, I am not going to be too happy because God gave me riches. I love this verse. Oh, I love this verse. Please turn to Psalm 62. Psalm 62, verse 10. Psalm 7, please read. 62, verse 10. I like the last sentence. Oh. Verse 10. Wow. If you are content heart, right, you have a five-bedroom house, you increase a lot of properties, but this is not going to be in your heart. Because this is not your goal. Your goal is, like I said, the 128 says, the house of God and your family. This is your goal and your duty. But suddenly, because of duty, you have a lot of income. This is not going to be in your heart. This is a blessing from God. Well, I can have it, I can lose it. Doesn't matter. I can really be in all kinds of shit. I can go to Africa. I can go to Germany. No problem, right? Anywhere. I can enjoy the environment. Every place has good things you can enjoy, right? So content is something you learn. How do you learn it? How do I learn it? The Bible says, by the power of God, I can do everything. Huh? You continue reading the Bible and use the Bible to mold your thoughts, your thinking, and do not follow the tiding of the world. People like this, you know, you only dollar sign all day long, and you just use it. If your heart is always go that direction, you may gain a lot, but you may not be a happy person. So let's use the concept of the Bible to mold us. And really, happy could be very easy to obtain. You know, holding a baby can make you happy. You know, look at the flowers, can make you happy. You know. Talk to your dog. Can make you happy. Happy is so easy to obtain. You don't need to have a lot of money to make you happy. Hug your children, make you happy. One day you notice that even you receive your phone call from your children, you're already very happy, right? You don't know that right now, but you will know in the future, right? Happy could be so easy to obtain. You do not need to live in a five-bedroom apartment. I'm sorry, five-bedroom house is okay, also good, right? But it's, again, riches, 不用放在心上. You don't need to be in your hearts. God give you, thank God. God do not give you, hey, I don't need to have it to be happy. So, godliness with content is the greatest gain. I mean, a little blessing. But just in case one day, I know that, you know, like Abraham, like Isaac, like Jacob, right? I'm telling you, they are all loaded. I'm telling you, people call Abraham the prince, right? And Isaac got blessed him 100 times when people are in famine. And Jacob has a son who is prime minister. So to me, of course, if one day you are loaded, let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Chapter 6, this is very important. Oh. Abraham was loaded, but he lived a sojourner's life, right? Simple life, right? Chapter 6, verse 17 and 18 and 19. Oh, Joseph. 17, 18, 19. First of all, you should not rely on your money. Really, Money could become easily, also could be gone easily, really. But as long as you are a content person, well, not begun by that what is go away, that just let them be, right? It's not going to influence your heart. Because really, in sometimes a wrong investment, a decline of economics, a lot of time, really, maybe a lot of things will become away. But your heart is over there, so be it, right? Not much influences because you do not rely on it. But one day, if you truly have money, do more charity work, especially for the house of God. Give alms to people. Really, I saw many brothers and sisters. They truly love the church. You know, they are retired. They have a lot of money. They don't think it's good to leave a lot of money to their children. So they set a lot of funds in the church. This money, you know, is for certain fund for the church. This money is for certain fund for the church. And church brothers and sisters and church missionary work is benefited by that kind of funding. You live in USA, you live in the Western world, please learn good culture over here. That is, really, you don't need to live a lot for your children. You look at Oriental society, right? Some people do that, and they let their children fight for the money, suing each other. And sometimes do not even allow the parents to be buried before the lawsuit got settled. It's really very painful to see this, right? So this is Bible's way. Let's read the last verse to conclude. Chapter 6, verse 20. Chapter 6, verse 20. Amanda, please read. It ended with the beginning. Echo what is at the beginning. Guard, and God. From guarding, do not allow people to say something wrong, to guarding what you have. So in the church, we shall guard what we have. I'm going to answer some questions. It's conclusion of 1 Timothy. I'm going to answer some questions then ask you to do reflection. First question, what wrong concepts, teachings, this is from Q&A, right, are coming out in our church today, and what shall we do if a person ever approaches us with such concept? Within the church, there were two popular concepts that we believe it is not right at this time. And it is like discussed in many Bible study groups. One is Satan exists by himself. And this proposal was turned down by TRC. So we believe that there is no Bible base for Satan to exist by himself. And people are saying that, well, Satan come from angel, has no Bible base. But it is not true to me. Let's turn to, you can choose to believe or not, but this is my understanding. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Esther, please read. So God created everything, something you can see, something you cannot see, including principality and power. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. God created principality and power, right? But over here we can see principality and power become bad. Chapter 6, verse 12. Candace, please read. You are too xiaoshen. Amanda, please read. Debbie, please read. Deborah, please read. So from these two verses, you can see principality and power. One is previous verse was created at the beginning. And this verse is something that we are fighting against. They are the Satan in the air, right? 空中属灵气的恶魔. So we can see the falling of the principality and power. Now, how come traditionally we call it fallen angels? Because angels, this word is very loosely used. Like the church representative, according to Revelation, is also called the angel of this church. The media preach in the air. The Bible also describes as angel, right? Angel, this word, is very loosely used. It's a messenger. That's why traditionally we call Satan is fallen angel. But I want to talk about more correct wording. To me, is fallen principality and power. This is my understanding about Satan. And this is Bible that I read to you, right? So Satan still exists, is defeated in TRC. There is no Bible base. This is one concept people are discussing right now. Another concept is people are saying that have fullness of Holy Spirit do not need to speak in tongue. Of course, in the Old Testament time, Simeon, the Bible says he has the fullness of Holy Spirit, but it is Old Testament time, right? But Jesus said, I'm going to give you another counselor, which is the Spirit of truth. Another counselor is in the New Testament time. So in Acts chapter 8, people already got baptized, but none of them received Holy Spirit, right? Until Peter and Paul come, and a powerful phenomena came down on them. So from the Bible, we believe that our doctrine is that to judge if a person have Holy Spirit, it is by speaking in tongue. Speaking in tongue proves that he have the Holy Spirit. There are numerous Bible verses, right? But of course, the people are saying it is because people see that even though you speak in tongue, your deeds is still very bad, right? It is true. This is fact. Could be, right? Like I said before, like Ezekiel says, the living water could be like ankle deep. You can be yourself. So speaking in tongue do not guarantee you to have good deeds. Only if you have fullness of Holy Spirit, after you speak in tongue, you pray, the ankle deep water continue to rise up to over here, then you will be submitted to the living water. You cannot be yourself. Then at that time, truly you have the fullness of Holy Spirit. Now this is the understanding of true Jesus Church. This is our fundamental stuff. Item number two. In classes, we learn that we need to defend God, the truth that was entrusted to us. In my local Bible study, there is a believer who brings up interpretations that are wrong when analyzing the Bible. I try to explain the correct interpretation as much as I can by turning to the Bible and showing support verses. The believer will then say that we are brainwashed by traditional TJC interpretation, but we shall be more open-minded. Shall I just avoid correcting this believer in order not to bring conflict in a Bible study, or shall I still defend the truth every time so that the other members won't get influenced by the wrong interpretation? Open-minded cannot bring us to a to the anon that is not in the Bible. I don't mind open-minded, but open-minded cannot bring us to the anon that introduce a lot of debate. The Bible keep telling us this is called fable. 虚空的言语或世俗的虚空的言语 fable, 虚空的 means that there is no Bible base, right? There is no Bible base. That's why it's called fable. I don't mind people have open-minded when you talk about a lot of application concerning none of the foundations. But considering foundations, from the beginning of Timothy to the end of Timothy, you should guard it, right? You should keep it, right? This is common faith for common salvation. If you change it, there's no more true Jesus Church. I cannot be open-minded to a way that there's no more true Jesus Church. Because if you proclaim that speaking, you don't need to speak in tongue, then you have fullness of the Holy Spirit, then our church has no difference from the other church. Then later on, when you select council member, really, those who don't speak in tongue can be elected as council member. The church direction will truly change to a very open-end direction. This is a very serious matter. So concerning foundation, I'm sorry, I cannot be open. I only can guard what I have. But as long as it is in a Bible study, you can choose to respectfully disagree with what the other people say once or twice, right? But you continue debate, to me, is no good too. You tell the church, whatever is discussed in TRC already, every member should abide, including members, you know? Nowadays, people do not practice the Bible, the series of the Bible already. If people become east, I'm sorry, according to the Bible, have to do with excommunication, cast out from the church. If people become east, of course we are beloved brothers and sisters, you share different thoughts, you will not go to that route. But we should tell the church to really encourage your brother and sister, yes, I know your thought, please do not bring this debate anymore. You are entitled to believe what you believe, right? But to influence the church, to convert other people, become your disciple. This is converting other people to become disciples. This is the East already, right? So if debating is really very ruined, very unpleasant, sharing is okay, right? But so if once and twice and three times people do not like to listen, probably you should tell the church, what should we do? Maybe no more Bible study. We'll just give sermon. Send people to give sermon because Bible study cannot be edified anymore. Send people to give sermon because sermon speaker need to be qualified for some qualification, right? So this is my understanding for your reference. Shall we ever reject holy work when we are asked to do holy work by someone at church? What if you feel overwhelmed by the amount of holy work, or if you have the wrong motivation, or if you are simply just not ready to serve? Am I allowed to reject? I want to say, no, you are allowed to reject, right? Because I'm a worker, right? But in the Bible, indeed, I see some case people reject holy work. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 11. Tina. Corinthian church is really too troublesome church, right? It's a very troublesome church. Apollo, no matter how much I encourage you, oh, please go. Apollo said, no, at this point in time, I'm not going to go. I go there, people will devour me. They are like lion, right? I'm like a lamb. We have to go there, people is going to tear me apart. I'm not going to go, right? Corinthian church, some is for Apollo, some is for Paul, some is for Peter. And some say, no, I'm of Christ, right? And then even some is for Paul. Paul said, I'm not going to get involved on this. This church is too much troublesome. I'm not going to go. So did he reject the assignment? Did he reject the invitation? So yeah, I don't know if you should reject. If the situation you face is like that, right? Maybe you can reject. Assignment is a blessing. If you assume the blessing, you cannot do a good job, church will not assign you next time. What do you think? Like if people invite me to teach NYTS, right? And I really do not like this job. If that's it, I really do not like this job. And I don't prepare a lot, And you can see that I do not enjoy teaching. And then actually, the coordinator later on can tell, and probably next time they will not assign me anymore, right? So, what should I do? But if you truly reject that is from God, sometimes you should think about it also. I give you this side and that side, huh? And you make choices yourself. Huh? Let's turn to 1 Samuel, chapter 15. 1 Samuel, chapter 15. Verse 18 to 19. Now, Saul has assignment. He kind of did not listen. Maybe chapter 16, verse 18 to 19. Chuang, would you please read? Okay. Why then you shall not obey the voice of the Lord, right? Verse 22. Continue reading. Yeah, sure. Yeah, okay. Yeah, verse 22. You reject God, God will reject you. Huh? So what do you think? Should we assume the assignment? So you can choose that. Huh? You say, oh, I'm not going to do it. This project is simply too much complicated. Some people is for Paul, some people is for Apollo. I'm involved. No, I'm sorry, not at this time. I'm not going to take it. But he said, if you reject God, if you reject the assignment, you reject God and God will reject you. So you choose that. Huh? It's your wisdom to choose. In general, my thinking is that try not to refuse unless you have truly have a legitimate reason you think God will pardon you. You truly think you have a legitimate reason that God can excuse you. God can excuse you. I think this is between you and God. But assignment is a blessing. But of course, if you are too busy and too much will overwhelming, huh? You always have the. It's always not bad to voice out to the one who are in charge. Seriously, please consider my personal situation. Do you think I am proper for this situation? I have this assignment already. I have this condition, and this condition already. Do you think? Is it proper for me to continue this new assignment? Oh, you can always voice out. I think people are reasonable. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's another question. I forgot. I don't have a paper. It's in my. It's. I read it and I don't know where I located it. It's talk about church tradition and Bible truth. Talking about voting, right? 1/3 or 2/3 or half. Is it church tradition or Bible truth, right? I don't know if you have to do with my class. Did I talk about this? If it is not in my class, is it? Did I talk about this? If I do not talk about this, you answered it, asked it, and answered it later on, okay? Because I want to have some reflections. So, nothing to do with my class, right? That question. But in a word, voting is in the Bible, okay? If you read Acts chapter 6 or 7, right? They choose Stephen. Choose is by congregation choose, right? Of course, it's got to be voting, right? Right? They choose the 7, right? People have the right to choose. How do they choose? Of course, by voting. But is it 2/3? Is it half? You decide, right? It is not unbiblical for you to decide because you need to choose. It is by 2/3 or by half. Because the Bible allows you to choose. But who ordained? Who to ordain? Peter to ordain. God to ordain. You choose, God ordained. It's not unbiblical to me. Okay, I think, but it's nothing to do with my class. If I disagree, I'm not satisfied with this answer, you can continue to ask. I like to have few people to share their reflection. I already randomly choose three people yesterday. So, Kevin, would you please come up and share your learning from first time?
So, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I give my reflection. So, just to review, where does love come from according to 1 Timothy altogether? Pure heart. Clear conscience, seriousness of your faith. Okay. So I think for me, the thing that struck me the most was a sincere faith. And I remember Pastor Juan telling us that the faith is what gives us the boundary for love, right? And it took me a while before I understood what this meant. And I guess for edification, I'll talk about my thought process and how I figured out that how God inspired me and showed me that it was faith is the boundary. If we have faith in God, that means that we believe in his goodness, we believe that he is the creator, we believe that he is our master. And because of this belief, that means that we also have to believe in his commandments, we have to believe in his statutes, we have to believe in what he commands us to do. And because of this, that gives us the boundary for our love. So yes, it's good that we have mercy on others, but we also have to remember about God's the just and righteousness of God.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, share some reflection about learning from the 1 Timothy. So I'm gonna share about the same thing as him. Actually, I think 1 Timothy is really good for us to think about how to consider ourselves and prepare ourselves to serve the Lord. And then about the love. Where does the law come from? It's from the pure heart, the clear conscience, and also the sincere faith. From pure heart, I think it's more about the motivation from your heart. And then in terms of the clear conscience, I think it's about the action you act. And then from in terms of the sincere faith, it's about the based about the words of God, of God. So when I think about a pure heart, I kind of think about, do I have a pure heart? Because everything we do is false from our heart. So just like I'm standing on the podium right now, or when I'm doing a hymn leading, do I really have a pure heart, like that I'm going to praise the Lord, I'm going to give the glory to the Lord, or do I just want to like please the man or just glorify myself? So I think it's about the pure heart. Just like the story of Judah, he go forward and kiss Jesus, but actually he appear like he loved Jesus, but in his heart is not. In his heart is he tried to disobeyed Jesus, betrayed Jesus. So do we have a pure heart? We need to think about before we do the holy work. And for the clear conscience, I think, do we have, when we do the holy work, do we have a clear conscience, like, do we have a guilt in our heart? For example, because we know the truth, and then if there are some members, they preach the false doctrine, do we have a clear conscience to stand out to correct the truth? So that's why I think about a clear conscience. It's about when you know that is the right, and then do you stand firm on this right? And lastly is sincere faith. So it's also the foundation of the love. And the foundation is about, our foundation is come from the words of God. So it's so important for us to have this foundation, to read the Bible, to know the truth. And that's about the love, that what I learned from the First Timothy. And then the second point is, I really like a pastor share about God counts according to what we have. Because I remember Pastor Huang share about if you have one tenth, you give one tenth to God. If you really have a talent, you need to give all the talent, all the gift to God, because that's all He gave to you. And then do not consider about what man talks about, because serving the Lord is the relationship between God and between you, between ourselves. So don't need to be too worried about what others say about your servitude, because you actually work for God, but not present for the men. So this is about what I learned about First Timothy. Thanks.
Okay, so I think something that really left an impression on me from the First Timothy class was in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. And it's actually, I didn't realize that it was only one word until I asked Pastor Hong this morning. Yeah. And it's, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach. And I think Pastor Hong spent a good maybe 5 minutes talking about hospitality, but I think I wrote every single word that he said down. And the reason why it left such an impression on me is because it's something that I personally struggle with. And he said that it is important to be hospitable to our guests, who are fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, because they are church family members. And you know, how can we be the salt and the light of the world if we cannot extend our love and hospitality towards our own, you know, flesh and blood? And as workers of God, we must give from a sincere heart, and it doesn't matter how big or small we do to offer him. And when Pastor Huang was speaking, even though I didn't stand up in the middle of class and give him the finger, I did feel that he was speaking directly to me. And a couple of months, maybe like a month and a half ago, Pastor Rudy's family came to Dallas, and I know Pastor Rudy always picks on Paulina, but I'm gonna pick on you one more time. She, Evelyn, Pastor Rudy's other niece, and Makiwe, another sister, came. And Dallas is slightly cliquey, and so during lunch, you know, the Korean members will sit with the Korean members and eat lunch, and then like the Chinese Bible study will sit with their respective people, and then like the English Bible study will sit with their people. And I think 2 or 3 Sabbaths later, I finally asked them, do you want to sit with us to eat lunch? And it took me that long to ask, because it was out of my comfort zone. And So, and also the elders at Dallas Church, it's Korean tradition to bow and greet them for if they're your family members. But I couldn't remember the last time, as Pastor Hwang was preaching, that I greeted the Chinese elders at my church. And so, you know, it's so easy to say ni hao or ping an. And even and Pastor Woody, I remember him saying that love transcends all barriers and boundaries. So even though I don't speak that much Chinese, it was so simple and easy to show love to my fellow brothers and sisters that way. And so God chooses us to serve and to be hospitable, not because of our abilities or talents or other things, but because of our capacity to love. And I thought, you know, if I can't even show my love to my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, how can I serve God? So I hope that during this NYTS, we can fill our hearts full of God's love, so that when we return to our local churches, we can show love to our brothers and sisters in Christ, the truth seekers, the newer members, and even the elders in our church. So I think that's something that really left an impression on me from the First Timothy class.
Yeah, let's conclude. Thank God for this class. Let's pray in silence. Amen.